This parsha is Parsha Kisisa, a jam-packed parsha, very jam-packed, but I would like to focus on something that we perhaps take very much for granted, and that is Shabbos Kodesh. You know, I think it resonates, the story about Wolblaski says over, he said over recently about Shalom Shadron, where when there was some sort of tax in the government, and they made a Havganah, so, you know, Shadron didn't show up, but then there was a protest, of course, a peaceful protest against Shabbos. You know, they all questioned why did Shadron, why did he go, why did he participate? And he says, obviously, what do you care about? You care about the taxes, but I care about Shabbos. Now, I'm not saying we should, you know, obviously it's highly, it's halachically complicated what many people do when they protest on Shabbos, but forget about an outward protest about Shabbos. We have to be talking about internal understanding and appreciation for Shabbos. That we should be on the Madrega, the famous story about the Chavetz Chaim, when he saw a man with a cigarette on Shabbos, and he was able to take his hands and just say, Shabbos, Shabbos, Shabbos. And his tears went onto this man's hand, and he was able to turn him into a Baal Tshuva about Shabbos. There's something so special about Shabbos we just take for granted. The Gemara doesn't say that all misses in the Torah are connected, one miss in the Torah is connected to all the misses. But Shabbos is. Shabbos is Shkul Kekol Mitzvahs. What's so special about Shabbos? And what can we take out from Shabbos? How can we appreciate it? I'll start off with the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. I heard this once from a Rav. We understand that we want to instill a certain love of Shabbos. Because if there's one mitzvah that sticks with somebody his whole life, that he needs this to be considered a frum Jew. But more than just a frum Jew, it's certainly Shabbos. Right, things are that, and unfortunately, from what I hear, you know, it's becoming an even greater challenge in this generation. So he says like this: the Shomer of Neisas is Shabbos, the Lasosas is Shabbos, the Urasim Bris Olam. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, the Shomru we had in Parshas Vayeshev, Va'aviv Shomar Es Hadavar. When was that said? Yaakov Avinu was waiting for the dreams of Yosef Avinu to come to fruition. Shomer doesn't just mean to guard; it also means to anticipate. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, "V'shomer raises the Shabbos." If the Jews anticipate the Shabbos, they get excited about Shabbos coming. Then l'doros some risalom. Then it'll go for generations. A person, right? This is certainly I'm talking to myself here. Right? If Erev Shabbos is close to insanity with the preparations and everybody's going nuts. So then there's not going to be that excitement and appreciation for Shabbos. If Shabbos is about, right, the very, very famous story that Moshe Feinstein says, they say over the name of Moshe Feinstein, and I've heard it in many different forms, where a kid comes to kindergarten, and he plays the Shabbos Tati, and instead of making Kiddush with excitement, he says, Shvetz Zayin Yid, it's difficult to be a Jew. And he says, oh, what a rough week. If that's what a Shabbos is, then it's not going to go to the next generation. But if Shabbos is exciting, if Erev Shabbos is exciting, the house is on fire, was it's not on fire from controversy or complaining, but on fire with excitement. Over the Shabbos candles. So then it can be passed to the next generation. Then it can be passed to the generation. There's a certain excitement. Right? There's a reason why, you know, Shabbos treats and questions at the table. That's really the foundation of every Jewish family, and I think people will probably agree with me that how they grew up and so on, how their Shabbos table was an indication about the level of Yiddishkeit throughout the week. That's point number one. Point number two. This is a quote. Not sure what to learn from this, but the Kaf Chaim. Well, first of all, the Gemara in Beitza says that we have a Neshama Yisera. We're giving out a Neshama Yisera on Shabbos. And Rashi says, "Roichav lev l'menucha olasimcha," like a widening of our heart for resting, not just some resting, but like rejuvenation, l'simcha for happiness, l'pasuach l'ravacha, open for gain, v'yoichav v'yishter ein nafshal katzalav, and our soul is not bound. We have to understand that, and I think everybody will agree. You feel different. It's not, of course, we wear different clothes, we eat food, and our whole schedule changes. Right? Certainly, the Gemara of Baba Kama, which is in terms of being a Nogach, right? When even the ox, to a certain degree, feels the difference of the clothing of the people around, the whole different. You feel different on Shabbos. But you have to be conscious of it. Don't just take it for granted. I just want to quote, the Kavachayim quotes Zohar. It says, that when your neshama returns on Motzei Shabbos, the neshama is asked two questions. Number one, Eitzei Chiddush Torah Shemat Hayom. What Chiddush and Torah did you hear today? There's an Indian to Mechanish Torah on Shabbos, certainly an Indian of learning Torah on Shabbos. They say over that if Talmud Torah is connected Kulam, and if Shabbos is connected all the mitzvahs, so the person learns Torah on Shabbos, it's multiplied 613 times twice. It's huge. It's very, very chashuv. Okay? And number two, he's asked, what special food did they put in front of you on Shabbos? You see, Shabbos is very unique. It's certainly very special. Number three, the story said over about the Chafetz Chaim, in a certain town in Poland, they had to start a Shabbos patrol. It's called Mishmeres Shabbos. In that town, apparently, there's Chil Shabbos rampant, and they decided to create an organization that would promote and would encourage other people to be Shomer Shabbos. And they brought this letter to the Chafetz Chaim, and the Chafetz Chaim started to cry. And they asked the Chafetz Chaim, why are you crying? Why are you crying? So he said, it was the following mashal. He said, imagine you saw a person coming out of a house, and the person looks up to Shemayim, and the person says, oh, Baruch Hashem, I'm healthy, I can see, I can walk, I can talk, I can function. So we understand that he probably came from a house where everybody else was an invalid, everybody else was handicapped, and he's appreciating what he has. He said that if there's a city where people are not zoicha to be Shomer Shabbos, that means there's something wrong with them. It's like being in a spiritual hospital. They're spiritually incapable and incompetent. And the fact that the holy ones, that the healthy ones, people whose neshamas, people whose who are zoche, that they are know what Shabbos is about. It's just mentioned schus, but it's so sad for those that don't, that can't appreciate it and can't really observe Shabbos properly. It's not something that we look at it as that they're making a free choice. And okay, fine, that's their choice. No, they're pushed as sick. They're spiritually sick. And for that, the Chavetz Chaim cried. And I think that certainly resonates with how he cried over Shabbos. I think if it's a Madriga, we should try. When we see people, I'm trying it myself, when we see a Jewish person driving on Shabbos, it should tear us apart. It's a Chaval on them, it's a Chaval on the Chavetz Shemayim. Now, I'm not saying we should throw rocks. I'm not saying we should yell at them. Okay? No. But it should bother us so much. Like, oi! It should be the same way if you saw a Jewish person go and bow down to an idol, or do another major avera, right? If you saw a guy walk into to a non-kosher establishment and eat a cheeseburger, you'd be totally you'd be up in arms, right? If you walked, you saw a guy you grew up with in high, this is I guess a very I think appropriate muscle. Right? If you saw a guy you grew up in high school walk into a trade place and eat pork. Or walk in and eat a cheeseburger, you'd be up in arms. My very tough and loaded question to us, is that the way we feel when Chas Shalom we hear about Chilul Shabbos? It's horrific. It's partially horrific. Now, why is Shabbos so chashuv? Because it's the cornerstone of our emunah. It all stems from the Ma'aseh Bereishis. If we believe that Chas Shalom created the world, part and parcel of the creation of the world is ceasing to work and resting on Shabbos. So the Gemara tells us in Shabbos Kuf Yutes Amud Beis that anybody who says Vayichulu, right, it's Malal of a Kosov Kilu Nasa Shutuv LaKadosh Baruch Hu Ma'aseh Bereishis. Now, I've once heard from one of my Rebbeim, it's a school in the flaw to have in mind during Vayichulu that you're being made, you're testifying about the creation of the world in 6 days and the Kadosh Baruch Hu resting on the seventh day, and you become a Shutuv LaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you're a Shutuv LaKadosh Baruch Hu with Ma'aseh Bereishis, you know, you have the power, Koach HaTfila, that allows you to get with you to ask for whatever you want. And this Rebbe of mine says over Maisa that this he had a Talmud who had a child who there's questions about medical testing and maybe not well. And he told him, and I think the way the story goes, this Rebbe of mine was on a bus and he heard over this skula to have in mind Dafka of the Shasa Kiddush on something, and you can have your tefillos answered during Kiddush. You have in mind that your partner is a Kaddish Baruch with Ma'aseh Bereishis, and sure enough, the person entered full Shlema. It happens to be Derech Agav, that Talmud as well, was suffering from a loss in his business as well, in addition. So this Rebbe advised him that he should be careful not to talk anything shaykh to business, Bechlal, on Shabbos. And both things worked out, both the health problem the financial problem worked itself out. But the point is like this. Baruch Haim asked Akasha, how could it be that if you have in mind in Vayichulu that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh, how can you become a partner in the creation of the world? Was not the world already created? So how do you become a new partner of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu when something already took place in the past? So the Baruch Haim says no. That the way it works is that every single Shabbos that's observed properly, it allows the world to be renewed for the coming week. And not just, the Ma'aseh B'Bereishis didn't happen 5,777 years ago, but rather it's being renewed every single week. So when we go ahead and we observe Shabbos and we recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world in 6 days, so then it gives the power and that sort of recreates the world again anew. And the Sefer Lechem Mipi Hataf is medayik in the language. It says the Shomer Yisrael is a Shabbos, Lasos es a Shabbos. Why did it say es a Shabbos twice? So he wants to be medayik. It doesn't say the Shomer Yisrael is a Shabbos Lasos Osa. According to the Orchaim, it's very good. According to the Orchaim, it's because since you're observing es a Shabbos, Lasos es a Shabbos. That's what creates really the week. Let's just read it to you inside. When the Jews, when the Klal Yisrael, when Yisrael observes Shabbos, him zeichim lekayim sa oilam ashevu noisam. Zeh lasos es Shabbos, because the Shomer says Shabbos, lasos es Shabbos. Then the Shabbos we know also can be referring to the week. Shai dekach yesh oilam koch lahachzik mamad lemeshach shevu noisam. The whole idea is when we go ahead and we observe the Shabbos, by definition, we're allowing the world to be recreated, and that's why we're considered to be a partner with Kadosh Baruch Hu. And if we are a partner with a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the creation of the world, so then we obviously can dictate what happens in the world, and we have a special koach tefillah. And I think the last thing I wanted to mention that is that we say in Kol Mekadesh Shvi, very interesting yisod. We say in the Zemer of Kol Mekadesh Shvi, and we say the following line. We say Hamachrin Lotzis Min Hashabbos Marim Lovo, right? That the Shabbos leaves later, and we try to bring it in early. Now, this is just an example of, we say things all the time, do we ever think about what we're saying? This seems to be out of order, right? We want the Shabbos to end later, and we want it to come earlier, right? That's not usually how it goes. Obviously, we have Erev and Boker, but in this, we understand when we go into Shabbos, first comes going into Shabbos, then comes after Shabbos. What's pshat in this line in this mirrors? So, the three answers. I actually heard this also. I've heard this before, but I never saw it inside. Answer number one is amazing. Answer number one is that when the Jews found out about Shabbos, they didn't know. So they were told when Shkia comes, you got to stop doing work. So they said, okay, fine. When Shkia came, they stopped doing work. But they never experienced Shabbos. Then they experienced Shabbos. They didn't want the Shabbos to leave. So the first thing that ever happened to the Jewish people was Ma'achrin. They didn't want the Shabbos to go. Before they experienced Shabbos, they didn't know if they should yearn to have it come any earlier. They said, okay, Shabbos is going to start for the first time ever, right after Maimon Sinai. So, okay, you know, Shabbos comes at Shkir, very nice. When they experienced the Shabbos, then they said, you know, we don't want it to leave so fast. And then the next week, of course, they wanted to bring Shabbos in earlier because they couldn't wait for Shabbos to start. That's answer number one. Answer number two is more historic. Based on the Gemara and Shabbos Daf Lamed Dalid, that we know that Shkia, right, is not exactly when Shabbos starts. You know, because you have Banash Mashos, nothing's clear. But in the Midbar, they didn't have a problem figuring out when Shabbos started. Why? Because the Anan HaYakovod, right, switched off with the fire exactly when they switched. So, and the Anan was there, Bishchus Aaron HaKoyin. And then when Aaron passed away, the Anan was there, Bishchus Moshe Rabbeinu. So basically, when they were in the Midbar, there was seemingly no Tosefta Shabbos. Everything was precisely at the moment that the cloud left and the fire came. Boom. That's when Shabbos started. But what happened? When did Moshe Rabbeinu pass away? Moshe Rabbeinu, the Medrash tells us, Moshe Rabbeinu passed away on Shabbos afternoon. Right? And that's why we say Tzidkoscha. Tzidkoscha, we say Shabbos afternoon by Mincha, but Tzidkadin for Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, since Moshe Rabbeinu passed away on Shabbos afternoon, when was the first time we didn't know the exact precise time when Shabbos was going to finish? That was when Shabbos was leaving. That's why Me'achlan L'Sas Ben HaShabbos. The first time the Jews ever had to make Shabbos later because they didn't know exactly when it ended was when Shabbos was ending. And then the next week, when the Anan wasn't there again, right? When they didn't know exactly when Shabbos is going to start, that's why they had to bring in Shabbos early. So that's answer number two. And answer number three is, he said, quotes here from the Admar Astrupsa, and that is that certainly it's poshut that on Motzei Shabbos we don't know what Shkia is. Therefore we don't know what Shkia is. So what do? We have Chazaka Meikara. Chazaka Meikara is we still stay in Shabbos mode. Only when we know for sure Shabbos has ended, right? That's when we say, you know what? Fine, Shabbos is over. That's why we always extend Shabbos, because we assume based on the Chazaka that we're in Shabbos. We're not going to start feeling Motzei Shabbos oriented until afterwards. Okay? But when it comes to going into Shabbos, so the Chazaka Meikara says, hey, let's assume it's not Shabbos yet until we know for sure it's Shabbos. That's an even bigger Chiddush. So since we say the lesser Chiddush first. First we say that we extend Shabbos because that is less of a Chiddush, because obviously we're not going to stop Shabbos until we know for sure it's not Shabbos anymore. But when it comes to going into Shabbos, we're going to stick with the Chazaka Meikara that it's not Shabbos yet, and only later we're going to say that it's Shabbos. Okay, that's in terms of the different aspects of Shabbos. I also saw in the Zilberstein Sefer, if anybody remembers the unfortunate terror attack, many of them over the years, of course, and the Dolphinarium, which was a club in Tel Aviv, they had a terrible pigo on a Motzei Shabbat, on a Friday night, and he quotes, the Zilberstein says that there's a certain mice that wasn't necessarily so well known, that there's a group of 20 young people that wanted to celebrate somebody's birthday, and they were supposed to go to the Dolphinarium that night, but one of the 20 participants was makvid on Shmir Shabbos, and he said, I'm sorry, I can't attend this party if it's going to be on Friday night. So they decided, all 20 of them decided, you know what, we're going to have the birthday party at a different time. Shabbos is mamish mogain. Shabbos is unbelievable. And I think that we need to certainly be more conscious of how great Shabbos is and what it means to us. It's not, you know, I think certain communities that we associate with, we certainly look at Shabbos as a restraining order. You know, so much of society, but, you know, if you experience the Shabbos, like, I'm sure, you know, you go to, you know, a place like Bnei Brak for Shabbos, you know, you experience a proper Shabbos in Yeshiva, you know, and you see certain chashuva people, they're a different person on Shabbos, and you also, yourself, you're a different person. But it's not just, you know, I'll just say one more nekuda. Two things. One thing is that I always say over this the following idea by Rus. It says by Rus that Amech Ami Kasher Telechi Elech Kasher Telini Olin. So Rashi says that the way you walk, I walk. He's talking about Tchum Shabbos, and the way you lie, which means to sleep, I'll sleep. So Rashi says he's talking about Tchum Shabbos and Yisur Yichud. So the question is asked. You wouldn't say the way you sleep, I'll sleep, that's positive, right? That's a positive way of saying it. The way you walk, I'll walk. The way you sleep, I'll sleep. If it's talking about restraints, such as Tchum Shabbos, and it's a Yuchud, so it should have been the way you don't walk, I will walk. The way you don't sleep, I won't sleep. All negative, right? Because it's talking about something that's a restraint. But Rus is teaching us, no, that's not how you look at restraints. Restraints are not there to sort of diminish or suppress our enjoyment and to be as confining elements. No, on the contrary, it's empowering. The way you walk, which is a positive, I'll walk. What do you mean I'll walk? I'm not going to walking, but I won't be over at Tchum Shabbos, even though it's inherently negative. She looks at it as being positive. Is there yichud? You're right, it's a restriction, but I don't look at it as a restriction. Shabbos is whoever in their mindless command, right? If you experience an awesome Shabbos, do you feel like, oh my gosh, you know, I couldn't pick up my phone, I couldn't be involved in this? Do you feel restricted? It's not even somebody who experiences Shabbos properly can't even utter the words restriction. It's an enhancement. It's life. It's also unrelatable and unexplainable. Which reminds me of another story, right? Ephraim Waxman says this over on a Shavuos drasha. He says that he's sitting on a bus talking to a non-religious Jew, and a non-religious young boy, and he says, "Listen, Shabbos, time of rest. Yom Menucha, I go to the beach." And he says, "No, you know." And Rebbe says, "No, I observe Shabbos in the Beis Medrash at the Shabbos meal." So the boy turns to Rebbe Waxman and says, "How do you know that you're right? Maybe I'm right." So Rashi said to him so pointedly, he says, I've experienced both. I know what it means to sit on the beach. I know what it means to relax. You know, so I can compare the two things, but you can't. So I can compare those two ways of observing Shabbos, right? So I'm right and you're wrong. Somebody who properly observes and keeps Shabbos, who feels the spirit of Shabbos, who can never compare? Okay, so it could be, right? A person who's not enjoying Shabbos is because he's not letting his soul open up. He has the Neshama Yisrael there. He just has to be a little bit open-minded. Of course, like anything in life, right? Kushner's not going to make it a walk in the park. Right. Obviously, if he made the nisayon of Shabbos, if he took away the nisayon of Shabbos, made it so easy, then it would be chashuv. Right. Like everybody knows that. That's aleph beis in learning and anything. Avodas Hashem. If it's easy, it's not going to be chashuv. Of course, there's a nisayon not to be shomer Shabbos. It has to be. But if somebody actually opens himself up and tastes it, there's nothing else like it in the world. And with this, I'll close. We spoke about this. The Gemara, one of the shmuz and somebody spoke that if they observed one Shabbos, miyad nigolim. So actually, I found the Medrash. I think it was Yerushalmi. The Gemara says over there, because it's Shtei Shabbosos. The Gemara says Shtei Shabbosos, if I'm not mistaken. But the Yerushalmi, I think, it was a Tainus, I forgot. I looked up the Mar Mokom. It says, if you're Shere Shabbos, Achas Ketikno, so then you have to go. So what's the Pshat? One Gemara says, you have to keep two Shabbosos. And one Gemara says, Achas Ketikno. So what's Achas Ketikno? So the way the answer is, Achas Ketikna means not only the laws of Shabbos, but Ketikna means the way it's supposed to be observed, the spirit of Shabbos. If the Jewish people would observe the spirit of Shabbos, not just the laws of Shabbos, but the spirit of Shabbos, the spiritual elements of Shabbos, so then right away we'd be going. But if it's only from the letter of the law Shabbos, then it's going to take two Shabbos to be redeemed. And I think that, like anything in Avodas Hashem, trying to work on certain things, anything you think about more, are you more conscious of, you do better on. When it comes to tefillah, if you're trying to work on your tefillah and you think about it more, your tefillah will improve. If you're trying to work on your hasmada and you have a strategy and you think about it more, you'll be more successful in tefillah. And Shabbos is one of the big avodas of a Jew. But how often do we think about how could I enhance my Shabbos? How can I improve my Shabbos? Not just learning the halachas of Shabbos, which is certainly true, but just the whole concept of Shabbos. That this is what separates us from the goyim. This is what really connects us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's obviously, to read, let's say, a sefer like Shabbos Malchus, what is so special? Why is Shabbos connected to Kol HaMitzvos, Shachar Kol HaMitzvos? Why is this the trademark of a Jew? Why does this show my emunah about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Obviously, and if we don't necessarily have the answers to the questions, we certainly should learn them. Because if we just stop observing Shabbos, like we, because they taught us in fifth grade and sixth grade, not to turn on Latin Shabbos, then we're missing out on something that's obviously so powerful. What does it mean in Neshama Yisera? Right? Jewish people, right, on one day of the week, we get a Neshama Yisera. What does that mean? And obviously, if we zorche, as Hashem, each one, to work on ourselves for Yom Shabbos, not only will it enhance our own lives, but the trademark of a family, and also chinuch of one's children, it all stems from Shabbos. Everybody's busy all week long. This is the one time you can really, internalize and inculcate the yisodos of emunah b'Hashem is on Shabbos. Have an amazing Shabbos, and we should see the Gula Shem Yerimenu.
Thank you.
My pleasure.